Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. KSIW Woodward, KADS down here in Elk City. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got all kinds of different topics. I want to hear about the match from Jared. See how much he watched. I saw some kind of highlights or snippets from some different things that were said by the players up at the Moonlight Basin in Montana, by the way. That looks like a pretty sweet place.
Yeah.
It might have been the star of the night, as it were. But Bryson and Aaron Rodgers defeat Phil and Tom Brady 3-2.
It's the first thing my wife said. She came in, and I was watching it at home. She goes, where is that?
Where is that?
That's Montana. She goes, we need to go there.
That may be the winner chicken dinner the entire weekend.
Yeah.
The entire night might have been that. For sure.
Beautiful.
You've also
got a lot of goats on the course.
There was goats. There was a bear. Charles Barkley talked about cougars.
I didn't catch that?
Oh, yeah. So we'll talk about probably really what was said than the actual golf.
Yeah.
NBA Finals Game 1 last night. Phoenix 1-0 lead over Milwaukee, 118-105. Giannis did play. It was fairly effective. It's got to be a good sign. If you're rooting for the Bucks, everything else probably wasn't. But I think after all the things we talked about yesterday, everything, I think it comes down to one simple matchup. I'll tell you what that is when we talk about it. Where was Rachel Nichols? What happened to Rachel Nichols?
Updating her resume.
Talk about that. Speaking of where are you, one of the darlings of last year's OU football team, a guy that people really were excited about, being able to use in multiple facets on the offense. Mikey Henderson, where are you? I'll tell you where you're at. You're gone. Turns out he might have been the third person in the old arm robbery that's taken away three Oklahoma football players. I have a question. And, you know, this is one incident, but there's some other stuff I can point to. Should there be concern with the culture that's being cultivated by Lincoln Riley, or is this a kids-will-be-kids type deal? OK Kids regional baseball results from yesterday up in Woodward. If you have others of these, text us. Call us, 225-9698. I do know Elk City Outlaws won. I don't know what the score was in the 12U. Also, 12U softball. We finally have a state champion in the 12U softball.
12U.
Started out at Stroud, just finished. We have a champion, and I happen to know who it is. We'll tell you next. How are you, Jared?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. A little bit tired. The late night up in Woodward last night for the Sarah Eagles. I guess we can start. Let's start with the 12U softball. You know who the champion was?
No, who?
Arapahoe Butler.
Hey!
The Arapahoe Butler Lady Indians. Finally, about a week and a half late?
Yeah.
But they are the 12U softball state champions.
Well, congratulations to them.
Congratulations to Arapahoe Butler for staying the course and winning the 12U softball state championship. The regional action up in Woodward yesterday. The Elk City Crushers dominated Watonga 12-0, so they move on to this afternoon's, I guess you could call it a
quarter?
Semifinal.
Semi?
Well, quarterfinal kind of. Yeah, quarterfinal.
Okay.
They'll play Alva. Alva's the only team that had a bye, so they'll play Alva. And then Kingfisher beat Arapahoe Butler 17-0. So the Blue Sox will play Woodward as the Woodward Rangers came back and beat my Sarah Eagles 5-4. It's one of those games that Eagles.
I hate to say it, but when you take on the winning mascot of the Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers.
You're going to be pretty good.
The Rangers had their pitcher was pretty good.
They might be better than the Rangers down in Arlington.
They might. Their pitcher was pretty good, but it was 4-0 in the bottom of the fourth. That's a game you expect to win, and things just went south. Some errors, some walks. Next thing you know, you give up four runs without the ball leaving the infield, and you're looking around going, what just happened?
Mm.
And then in the fifth, they got a hit, got a third, threw it away on a pitch to the screen, and 5-4, game over.
Oh, dear.
And you're kind of looking, thinking, wasn't it 4-0 just a second ago?
Oh, man.
Everybody's kind of in shock. But give credit to the kids from Woodward, man. They continued to play, didn't get so far behind that they couldn't come back. And then when the opportunity presented itself with some miscues from our little fellas, boom, there they went, right through the door. And so now a long road to hoe for the old Eagles back through the loser's bracket. So Woodward will play Kingfisher, Elk City will play Alva, and then in the loser's side, Sarah and Arapaho tonight, and then Watonga is waiting on somebody to play tomorrow. They'll get the day off with the way the bracket was drawn up. So I know there's a ton of other teams that are playing in these OK Kids regional baseball tournaments. In the 10U, Cheyenne got a bye. They don't play till today. They'll play the winner of Stillwater and Shawnee from yesterday up at Perry. So that'll be their first game today. Cordell played Mountain View Godibo yesterday over in Washington. Some Weatherford teams involved as well. So here's the deal. It's hard to find those updated brackets, as we found out a week and a half ago from you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not at that site, it's hard to find them. So if you've got them, send them to us, 225-9698. We'd love to get that info out there on the little kid, the 10U, 12U. They've started regionals. Coach pitch doesn't start till Thursday in most locations, including up in Woodward as well. So it's a lot of fun. It was really kind of weird last night being up there. You know, the Sarah team that my son plays on, every year they've gone to regionals, it's been in Woodward for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, the last 3 or 4, they went to Prague one time. But when I'm so used to that complex being completely full with games.
Right.
You know, different fields. We were the only ones there.
Different levels.
Yeah. And we were the only ones there last night. It was kind of eerie being in that complex without a bunch of different games going on here and a bunch of – I mean, it was pretty quiet.
Right. Yeah.
In there.
The only show in town.
With nobody else cheering. And it was really quiet from the bottom of the fourth on over on the third base line where we were sitting. But we'll see what happens. The little guys are tough. They'll come back and play well today. All right, Mikey Henderson. You know, he's a guy that a lot of OU fans were excited about. In a limited role last year, kind of at that H-back spot, really showed some promise of being a pretty good football player for Oklahoma. And he was slated to be moved to the running back spot. Just going to be a sophomore and really probably just a freshman because of the extra year you get from COVID. And now last night it's being reported widely, basically everywhere, that he was the third man in the armed robbery along with Seth McGowan and Trajan Bridges. And so immediately he's kicked off the team, going to be a felony arrest warrant issued for him. You know, they've heard a bunch of theories about what he was doing. I don't know, KWTV9 reported he was the getaway driver of the deal. Who knows? I mean, those...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, you're involved.
That's right. And so Mikey Henderson has been removed off of the Oklahoma football team. Is this a concern? You know, we talk in-season a bunch since Lincoln Riley has taken over this program about in-season, in-game, lack of discipline from a, you know, excessive celebration penalty, those 15-yarders. You know, everyone points to Buki and how he was kind of the culprit of a few of those, but he's not the only one. There's been other guys in this 4 years. And another thing that kind of points to me to lack of discipline is that inexplicable loss that pops up every year. Kansas State, the last two, a team that should never beat Oklahoma if you look at the talent. Is that another discipline, lack of focus type of thing? So can you translate that out there, or is that just something that's easy to talk about when somebody else gets arrested in an off season where the momentum is building for this to be the best chance that the Sooners can win a national title since, I don't know, 2008, maybe 2017, if you want to use that one. But, you know, Phil Steele's got him ranked number one, expecting to be the national titleist. And then you have these things pop up off the field.
Yeah. Well, listen, when you're a program like OU, and I know we've said this, if it's, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, you're under the microscope, so anytime any player at any part of the depth chart gets into trouble, it makes headlines, especially when players are dismissed. But is it a concern? I mean, it's a fine line, I think, between motivating and the style how you want to run your program and coach of being, hey, I'm, you know, I think Lincoln is trying not to be so much of a father figure, but more like a big brother to these guys sometimes. And that, and again, it's a fine line of running this cool program that attracts the top recruits to come and want to play for you. And then what we've seen after the last 2-3 months with this situation. So it is a fine line, but I think if we're looking at positives, you know, I said it back when this thing came out, what was it, May? He needs to use this as an example for the rest of the program. Like, you mess up, you do this stuff, you're not on my team. And so far he's done that. He's kicked these guys off. He says, see ya. This is not tolerated. But should it be more pulled back, like, instead of waiting for arrest warrants to be issued or felony charges to be filed, should it be more? I mean, you know, I heard you were over there. What's going on? I got to discipline you. I'm not, you know, instead of waiting for the DA to file something.
Yeah. And you,
because then you're saying, well, okay, guy, you know, you're telling the guys without telling them, you can go do bad stuff, just don't get caught. You know, and it creates that culture, like you're saying, that could be a concern.
Yeah, that's
now, is it the level of 85 and
well, I don't think there's gunshots going off in the dorm or anything,
right,
just yet.
No, it's not. No, but it, and I'm not saying it could elevate to that. I don't see Lincoln and staff letting it go that far. But again, I think it just goes back to it is a fine line to being your buddy and then being your disciplinarian.
Yeah,
I think that's something he's still learning as a young coach.
I think that's right, because it's a little bit different. The age dynamic is different than, you know, a 55-year-old Bob Stoops versus a 33-year-old Lincoln Riley. And the tenor of the program is different. It's the more, it feels like OU is cooler than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's a big part of that. And the social media aspect of recruiting is a huge part of that.
Getting the Jordan brand and, you know,
excuse me,
putting
that's
cars
right.
on the field during a barbecue. You know, you wouldn't see that during Bob's tenure.
No, you wouldn't. And what's one of the major complaints from fans frustrated about not winning national titles at the end of Bob Stoops' tenure? We're missing out on the top talent. We're not talented enough. We've got to recruit better. Well, these are kind of some of those things that might pop up. You know, and it's the one thing that you always have to say in these situations when people get in trouble. And, you know, first off, you know, they're kids, so this is going to happen everywhere. So, you know, don't throw stones out of your glass house, because it'll always come back. I mean, just these things pop up all the time, everywhere.
Yeah.
No matter how squeaky clean you think your program is, it's not. It's because you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old kids, a bunch of which have been nothing but pampered their entire lives, never told no. And so when they get out on their own, this can obviously happen. But you're right in this aspect. There's no debating that once everything came to pass, Lincoln Riley acted swiftly and didn't mess around. And all three of these guys are gone, which has to happen. Now you just wonder, okay, what's next? And it feels like something new, because it's a different guy, but it's still the same incident. It's, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like there's a ton of them. Now, Isaiah Thomas, that popped up. You know, that's not as serious as this. You wonder if this makes his punishment harsher to try to prove a point on top of kicking three guys off.
Yeah.
And maybe it should. And the good news for OU fans that want to see more punishment for a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who had a bench warrant and was arrested for a DUI over the summer, the good news is the non-conference schedule is pretty light.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to have your cake and eat it too, you know what, Isaiah? You scoundrel. We're not going to let you play against Tulane and Western Carolina. 2-game suspension.
Right.
And you look good doing it. And you're also getting back for Nebraska, just in case.
And some who oppose, and I haven't heard of anybody, I'm just putting this out there in case there is, I haven't heard of anybody that's opposed Henderson getting kicked off the team, saying, wait a minute, let's wait, let's let the due process run its course. He could be found innocent. He could be, you know, just a wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't know what he was getting into, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? And this is something that Lincoln Riley, and I love it, because when I saw that he was immediately dismissed, and I think a lot of coaches are so scared to do this, they're so scared to be judge, juror, and executioner all rolled in one. Because guess what? Now, I said he was, you know, he acts sometimes like he's their big brother. In this case, he said, no, I'm daddy, and I'm telling you how it's going. You're off my team.
Well, and, you know, point on that, I just got a text about, you know, one of the most nationally known scandals, I guess, or incidents over the last decade happened right here under Bob Stoops's watch.
Right.
With Joe Mixon.
Right.
And that, the result of that, and listen, he had to set out a year. That was a harsh punishment. But also, lots of people don't think he ever should have got to play at OU again.
Yeah, let's be honest. If Mikey Henderson was a Joe Mixon, he's probably still on campus right now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I mean, the other guys were just as highly touted, if not higher recruited than he was. I mean, Trajan Bridges was one of those five-star group of three receivers that got booted. Now, he had a prior problem mm-hmm. with the weed suspension, but I don't think so. I think that's one thing that if you were paying any attention, if you're Lincoln Riley at East Carolina right before you get hired, and I'm sure that he and Bob Stoops had these conversations, maybe even just now. And I think that as much as those coaches think they're trying to, you know, help those kids, there's certain situations, and I think Joe Mixon was one of those, looking back on it, if you're Bob Stoops, to think, you know what? Somebody else could have been the second chance, and it wouldn't have maybe tarnished my legacy. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Now, I could see that second guessing from Bob. And maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe he just thought, you know what? We got him a year off, and we helped him, and guess what you haven't heard of? Any problems from Joe Mixon since?
Well, I mean, go back, and this was that the Joe Mixon situation. I almost equate it to the Dusty Dvorak situation where, you know, Dvorak got into what, he punched a friend and, I mean, really hurt him.
Dang near killed him.
And didn't he was suspended for a year?
Yes.
And he came back and look where he is now as far as mm-hmm. later down the road in life. He's a successful broadcaster, did the Cotton Bowl for crying out loud last year for ESPN. So I think Bob looked at that goat. Listen, I gave him a second chance, and look where he's at now. He got back in the straight and narrow, and he's fine, and he's successful. I'm going to give Joe a second chance. And you're right. You haven't heard of any other issues with Mixon, not since the time he had left at OU or now in the NFL at Cincinnati. So that's, you know, maybe I'm a little too passive because I'm an OU fan, and that's how I was kind of looking at it too. It's like, you know, we all preach about second chances, right?
Right.
I mean, we hate cancel culture. We hate the idea of, why come out? You know, we're about to talk about something's going on in ESPN right now. You know what? We hate the immediate, you know, cancellation of somebody because they made one mistake and you don't give them a second chance. But there are certain situations, I think, this one recently is where he could see it. He being Lincoln could see this thing kind of snowballing within the program. Like, if I keep giving these guys too many chances, then this stuff's going to continue. It's going to create a horrible culture in the program.
And I also think
I said it back in May. Use this as an example mm-hmm. for the rest of the program, not just for the guys that are on campus, the guys that are going to come to campus. Like, you don't tolerate it.
Well, and listen, there's moms and dads that are watching this that have kids that are juniors and sophomores in high school that, you know, some may go, oh, I can't believe you wouldn't help my kid. And others may go, I don't want my kid around that. I mean, those are just case-by-case basis.
Right.
But I do think that the coaches that are around these guys so much, and when it comes down to those second chances, sure, there's times where maybe, you know, a talented kid gets a better opportunity at a second chance than others. But I also think these guys, They really do know their personalities. They know their heart. And they also know that they're putting their neck on the line for kids when they give them a second chance. So I think that certain things happen for kids that won't for others, and that's just at the discretion of the coach. And as in the two examples you pointed out, Bob Stoops is 100% right. You know, and think of – but there's other times, these being those, where, nope, not going to happen, no matter how talented you are.
Right.
You know, there's the classic story from Prentice Elliott when Mike Gundy got the job at OSU. As talented a kid as there was on campus, and he messed up. Mike Gundy, probably in his heart of hearts, thought, you know what, I can give him another chance and he can mess up again, or see ya, and start on that foot. And he did, and that's what happened. Now, but it's just like anything, though. That didn't rid the program of problems.
Well, no.
Certain things pop up throughout any coach's tenure, no matter how short or long it is. And you know, you probably try to be as consistent as possible, but the kids who you're dealing with aren't like cookie cutter. You know, not everybody has the same personality. Not everybody has the same background. So, you know, it's easy to kind of point out hypocrisies and punishments, but you know, as much as these guys are around these kids and as good a relationship as they have to build just to get them on campus, you kind of have to give the benefit of the doubt to the coach until they prove that they're not worthy of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these, like I said, these things have happened in this state for sure at both programs. But it's hard to go back and think of, okay, when did one of them really mess up? Like, you know, give somebody a second chance, and then they ruined it.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess Bridges,
yeah,
would be the closest to that. But it's not like he robbed somebody. They let him back on the team, and he robbed somebody else. It was totally different. Now, I guess the substance, what they were looking for, wasn't. You know, trying to find the marijuana to smoke, and then that's why they decided to rob a guy. But you know, it does seem like the track record for
the
coaches.
By the way, how hard is it to find weed nowadays?
Yeah, that's what's crazy. This isn't
you got to rob somebody.
This isn't 8 years ago.
You can't put a text out.
Go to the dispensary.
Yeah,
they sell it.
Go get your card or something.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah, it's not as you know, it's not as taboo as some would say it was 8-10 years ago. It seems like it's everywhere. We all know somebody.
It's almost like getting in trouble for robbing some guy at gunpoint for a beer.
Yeah.
Really? Just go to the store.
Just go to the store.
Anyhow, so Mikey Anderson gone. A quick update on the OK Kids. Thank you to my man Dylan Satilli. Both of the midget teams for Elk City won their games yesterday.
Ah, great.
The Outlaws and the Sox. So both of those teams won. Let's see, they don't play each other yet. Elk City will play Anadarko. The Elk City Sox play the Fort Cobb Elgin War Owl winner.
War Owl.
It's like even fiercer than the Owl.
And the Mustang. It's a War Owl.
I just meant for Elgin. You know, they're the normal owls.
Well, I know that.
These little guys are the War Owls.
And so they're co-oping their mascot name in a way.
No. Fort Cobb's playing Elgin.
Oh, I thought I said Fort
no,
Cobb.
No. Fort Cobb is playing Elgin.
Oh, okay.
I got you.
Okay.
I was like, where is Mustang coming from? Yeah, they're playing each other.
I got you. Okay.
I know Canute had a team playing.
Yeah, I saw some mamas putting some stuff on Facebook about that. They did win.
They did win.
I think it was 12U.
Yes.
12U, correct?
Yes.
Am I talking 12U right?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Midgets. See, this is the problem. When we start using the number U, I don't know who you're talking about. Here's what we got. We got Coach Pitch, we got Pee-wees, and we got Midgets. I'm sorry. That's what we're going to go with. Because that way I know which ones they are. Yeah, Canute had a midget team.
Can I put a plea out?
Fire.
Can we not have somebody directing or running this tournament to find a way to put these scores out online?
Man, you...
2021. But we're still figuring out rain delays, so never mind.
It's handy. It sure would be handy for guys like us.
I mean, I guess even when I was in Preston and we were trying to figure out who we're playing because we couldn't find anything online. We had to put out a, what do you call that, an APB or a
Yeah, APB.
Yeah. Totally fine, I guess. Anyways.
I'm going to put out an APB for Drew Holiday to make my prediction right. All right, game one of the NBA Finals in the books last night. The Phoenix Suns defeat the Milwaukee Bucks by a score of 118-105. Chris Paul was simply sensational with 32 points last night, leading the Suns. Let's see what he had, 32 and 9. 32 points, 9 assists. 4-7 for 3, and he did all that without scoring in the first quarter. Didn't have a point in the first quarter, 16 in the third, as the Suns raced out to as much as a 20-point lead at one time, and then held on to win 118-105. The numbers coming out of this are just phenomenal for CP3. He joined Michael Jordan in 1991 as the only players in NBA history with 30 and 9 assists in their finals debut. He's the third player in the history of the finals at 36 years of age plus with 30 in a finals game, joining a couple guys you might have heard of, Kareem and Tim Duncan. And then last night he accounted for 54 points between the points he scored and the assists that he dished out. That's the third most ever in her first final game, behind Allen Iverson 61 and Michael Jordan 60. Just a virtuoso performance by one Chris Paul.
Well, he's had plenty of time to practice for these finals, so you'd hope they'd be pretty solid numbers.
Well, and, you know, and that's the crazy thing about it. You know, MJ got there in his prime. AI got there at the beginning of his prime. Chris Paul's been in the league for 16 years. He's past his prime, yet looks like prime Chris Paul. And there's one thing that I didn't realize yesterday when we were talking about the series and talking about how to defend Phoenix, and maybe you try to tire Chris Paul out a little bit. That's only his ninth game in the playoffs.
That's a good point.
And he looked super-duper fresh. When you see the highlights and watch him or whatever, he looked like he had more in the tank than a lot of the other guys. And he got to because he hasn't played as many games. You know, he went out with the shoulder there in the first round against the Lakers for a game, came back, then he had the COVID, missed two. And for a guy that has that injury history in the playoffs, it's almost been one of those, like, kind of silver lining in what seemed to be black clouds at times,
right,
for him. Oh, no, here it is again. Are you kidding me, Chris Paul? Snake bit Chris Paul gets COVID in the Western Conference. You got to be kidding. Well, turns out maybe that was the silver lining, because now he's as fresh or more fresh than he would have ever been, and he's more fresh than anybody else on the floor.
Well, I think how he's being used helps, too, how his rotation on and off the court is really beneficial.
Agree.
Pretty much just him and campaign are just, it's a rotating door at the bench. They just in and out, in and out, in and out, right? I mean, that keeps him as fresh.
Yeah, he'll
as
play like 5
too.
Minutes to yeah. start the game or so, then he sits for a while. Yeah, he doesn't, there's not the long spurts until it gets down to crunch time.
Right. Well, but then when it comes down to crunch time, he has enough gas in the tank for those long
right.
spurts. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty brilliant by the way Monty Williams has
used him. Sometimes you get
him.
That perfect marriage of a coach and a player like him, right? You see that all the time, where it's just the perfect scenario. Perfect, I mean, the obvious comparison or the obvious, you look at Michael Jordan and Phil. And that was just perfect, right? San Antonio with Tim Duncan and help me.
Pop.
The list goes on and on. So maybe this is just finally Chris Paul has found that perfect marriage of a coach to know how to use him more efficiently, especially at his age right now.
And think about this. What a lot of people don't realize, Chris Paul has already played for Monty Williams.
I know.
In New Orleans. You forget it.
Everybody
you,
forgets
you
that.
You forget that he played for him. And
but that was then.
That was then.
That
but
younger,
that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
You back then, Monty Williams could kind of not run him in the ground, but really, you know, use his effectiveness. And now maybe he's learning from those situations. Like, golly, if I wouldn't have played him quite this much in the first quarter or the second quarter, whatever it is, maybe he'd have had the gas in the tank down the stretch. You know, there was that one series against San Antonio. That was a really, really good series. And, you know, New Orleans had every chance to win, just didn't get it done when Chris Paul was young. So maybe, you know, maybe there are just certain little lessons to be picked out from Monty Williams from those times when he was in his prime,
right?
And trying not to replicate those mistakes. If you're a Bucks fan, a couple of things you got to feel great about. One was Giannis played 35 minutes. You know, he looked fine. The only starter that was a plus in the plus minus. And you figure if, you know, depending on what he feels like today, the chances of him playing more minutes go up, you know? And so that when he's the only plus for the starters, the more he plays, maybe everybody else kind of comes up. So that's a good sign for sure. And, man, they shot it well outside of Drew Holiday. Everybody else shot it well. You know, this is only the second game in these playoffs where Milwaukee has lost when making 10 threes. They were 16 of 36, which you would take every single night if you could get it. And they weren't able to get it done. Now, you could also probably construe that as a negative, like, well, shot it really well and got beat by 20.
Yeah.
You know, there's that as well. But I think it comes down, it's pretty simple to me. It's this series, if Giannis is continually healthy, which it looks like he's going to be. So you might have, you know, Giannis and Chris Paul cross each other out. They're both going to play great. They're both going to put up numbers. So they're a wash, let's say. I think it comes down to who plays better, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, or DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. And last night, that was DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker.
Yeah, who do you trust more? Guys.
Middleton was great. He had 29, shot at 12 of 26, made half his threes. But Drew Holiday was terrible, 4 of 14 to only 10. And, you know, maybe we're asking too much of him because of the defensive assignment he's going to have as well, of trying to guard Chris Paul and then have enough to come back on offense. But he's going to have to. I mean, I think it comes down to that. And last night, obviously, Ayton and Booker were better. DeAndre Ayton, 22 and 19. That's his fourth game this postseason with 20 points on 80% shooting as he was 8 of 10. That's the most ever in the shot clock era. And then it was also his sixth career, and career meaning this playoffs because it's the first time he's ever been there, where he had a 15-rebound double-double. That's the fourth most in the first postseason in history. You know who he's up there with?
Who's that?
Wilt, Bill Walton, and Bill Russell. So you're talking about a guy in Ayton that I think is turning heads. And outside of maybe Trae Young, his stock has risen higher than anybody else in these playoffs. Once you get to actually see him, he's a young fella, but he has really been good and been kind of overshadowed until this point in his career by Trae Young and Luka Doncic being in that same draft class and being the number one pick in the draft. All of a sudden, I don't think anybody's sitting here saying, boy, he's already better than Trae or Luka. That's not the case. But he's also not Marvin Bagley that was taken second by Sacramento ahead of those other two guys. No, he's clearly a useful player and, you know, not necessarily a just throw it into him in the post, back to the basket type guy. But he's also not a three-point shooting big man. So maybe he's, you know, a little bit more of a throwback than we even thought could still play in this league.
It just seems like old school finals with how this both, like we talked about, how both these teams are built. And then we talk about we thought the big man was going away, and he's kind of putting a halt to that conversation.
Yeah,
I really hope the superstar bug doesn't bite him and he turns into a guy we don't like, because I really like the guy.
He seems fun, right?
Yeah. Just seems like he's a coachable guy, a team guy, fun to watch. You know, funny guy. I just hope that, you know, how many times we've seen it where a guy comes in, we immediately gravitate to a guy, and then all of a sudden the superstar bug hits, well, I need more money, or I want to play.
Well, he's going to get more money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just.
My point is I just hope he doesn't turn into a guy that we don't like. I like rooting for guys like this guy.
You know what's weird about the Suns? And it's just totally because of Chris Paul and maybe just a tick of Jay Crowder, but mostly Chris Paul. They're super young. You don't see these super young teams in their first postseason runs handle things the way that they are. And maybe part of it is, you know, like Booker, he was drafted in 2015. So he's had time in the league. He just hasn't made the playoffs. But it's not like this is the second year of these guys.
Right.
It's third year for Ayton. And he's a little bit more, not necessarily a role player, but the ball's not in his hand. So, he does what he does. And there's really not a lot of reason to get nervous about it. You know what I mean? You're going to set screens on the pick and roll. You're going to dive to the rim. Chris Paul's either going to throw it up and you're going to dunk it. Or you flare out on an elbow jumper. Okay, that's pretty simple. You know, it's a pretty simple game for him. But, you know, Booker, he didn't shoot it great from three, obviously, at 1-for-8. But everything else, it just doesn't – for young guys, they don't look phased whatsoever. And that's a little bit surprising because I know I thought, and you thought a little bit too, not knowing Giannis' status, that this would be kind of a choppy, not really well-played game. That couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, Phoenix didn't shoot the three real well. But a big part of that was Booker. But other than that, I mean, there weren't a ton of turnovers. There wasn't a ton of choppy play. And then, you know, this bodes well, I think, for the series. What adjustments have to be made if you're Milwaukee to try to slow down the Suns just a little bit?
Well, you know, they made a run there at the end. I think they just continue to. What's that?
I was just checking the text line.
Well, now I gotta look. That's funny. My point is, what I was saying was they made that run at the end. You know, 105 isn't gonna cut it. You gotta score more clearly in this league to win a basketball game. I really think they just continue the course because I think Giannis, if he gets healthier, will get better. And do you really? I mean. Listen, we want it to be like that, and when we're previewing this series, we kind of thought there's going to be a guy that's going to stand out, and we kind of were hoping that would be Chris Paul, but can you really go to the bank and say that he's going to continue to produce like that every single game? My point is, if he has a not-so-good game, an average game, Milwaukee can beat this team.
Oh, I think so. I don't think it's over by any stretch.
No, and I don't think Chris Paul can't. Is it asking too much of him to give them 32 points every night in this series?
I think it is, but at the same time,
a stretch to think that he can do it.
But I also think that you can also get a little bit better shooting from Booker. You know, the complementary pieces have to play well.
Right.
And Phoenix has played a little bit better last night, obviously with the difference with Jrue Holiday not shooting it well. I think they're going to have to change something. Pick and roll wise, I didn't realize Chris Paul had only played 9 games in this postseason until last night was the 9th. So maybe my tire him out theory isn't going to work as well as it could have in a normal playoff run because he doesn't have he's got way more tread on the tires.
Right. If Milwaukee can extend this series,
the longer it goes, the better chance Milwaukee's got.
Yeah.
Because. You know, even though he has played just those 9, he's still 36. And what do you always see? Like, usually it's from like a role player where an older role player will have a phenomenal game, one game, and then come back and not do nothing.
Right.
Think Jamal Crawford last series when Trae Young went out.
Right.
He was great. Then he was just, he's old.
Yeah.
And you wonder if Chris Paul, if that does kind of bite him. But. I mean, the last two games, he scored 73 in back-to-back playoff games, 41 in the clincher in Game 6 against the Clippers, and then last night with 32. You know, that's the most he's ever scored in back-to-back games in his career in the playoffs. So, I mean, to your point, are we counting on things that he's never done? But at the same time, after all that's said, this is what happens in this league. Great, great players play great. At the right time.
It's true.
And that's what separates the all-timers from the really good players. And maybe we're finally getting to see Chris Paul at the peak of his powers show you just how good he really always has been.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the legacy of this, or it's Giannis. I said they cancel each other out, but I think they're both going to play great. I really do.
Yeah.
And it just seems like with Chris Paul, it's just it's a different level. It's hard to believe he's doing it at 36. It's hard to believe.
You know what Phoenix fans need to stop doing?
What's that?
Is counting during the free throws.
For Giannis.
Because I think that the best thing, I think it actually got him in a rhythm.
Was he 7 of 12 last night?
Think about this. He is going up there. He's hearing the counting, gives him in rhythm, and he's, you know. What if the entire building was completely dead quiet?
See, that's.
Then he has to think about his shooting. I think Phoenix probably needs to quit counting and just shut up.
It's interesting you say that because you've seen, like, guys like that are used to loud.
Yeah.
So what happens if you just, the gym goes silent? Just
completely silent. I mean, it was impressive to hear the entire building count in unison like that. Now if the entire building
just
would
go silent.
Just go quiet as soon as he grabs the ball.
I would love to see
That would be hilarious.
Because we've never really seen anything like it. All right, so I watched a little bit of the match before we had to go up to Woodward for the baseball stuff. You know, the first couple of holes, it was pretty sickening, some of the shots that were being hit.
Yeah.
You know, Bryson's drive on the first hole was like 475, and he blew it over the 340, like Hazard that chipped in after an Aaron Rodgers bad one. Then Brady drove the green, 392, drove it to about 8 feet after Bryson had hit what looked like a hybrid 390. I mean, are you kidding? So those were kind of some of the shots. Bryson and Rodgers beat Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. But I think the comments is what's been the big takeaway. You know, the different barbs that were thrown out there. Obviously, there was the point where Rodgers is in the golf cart and Brian Anderson and those guys, Larry Fitzgerald, trying to coax his future plans out of him. And he just kind of kept on saying, we'll see, when the question was asked, who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers? Ah, we'll see. Playing coy about that. You know, there's Gronk, who clearly didn't know Rodgers could hear him when he stepped in there. He was like, man, it doesn't look like Aaron's been doing anything. Kind of pudgy. And Brady was like, hey, Gronk, Aaron's online with us. You know, but to me, the comment of the night came from Charles. And it's not surprising that Barkley would do this. And so I think it was like the second tee, or maybe it was even on the first tee. One of the football players hit a bad tee shot, went down in the junk, and you could hear him go, oh, better make sure you have your bear spray. And so then Barkley's like, oh yeah, there's bears out here for sure. Then a little bit later, they actually show a bear on the TV, at the course. And they kind of start talking about bears this, bears that. And Barkley said, oh yeah, there's cougars here too. There was a bunch of them at the party last night, and he said, he started naming names, one of which was like a giant Turner exec.
Whoa.
He was just firing out a cougar label too. So that was, I mean, it's one thing to make the joke, and then it's another to start naming the names of said cougars.
Yeah, he's clearly not returning to TNT after
care.
A couple years. He's on a warpath, I guess. He doesn't care. No filter right there. That's funny. I didn't catch that one. That was funny. But that was the most entertaining stuff about the match, was the banter. And even I found insightful was they'd ask him, okay, what are you thinking here? How do you approach this? And then you just hear Phil just break down, well, what I'm doing here, I'm going for a 12-yard shot. I'm practicing a 12-yard shot. I'm going to aim behind here because it's slow. I mean, he's just going through the process of what he does every shot, basically, in his head. And then to see him actually pull it off, exactly how he had described it, that's just fascinating for me.
Yeah, and he and Bryson both are kind of that analytical style. And so if there are guys you want to hear, it's really kind of them.
Yeah.
Because of some of the stuff that they can pull off. I mean, yeah, the very first hole, they asked Bryson about the chip shot he had. He goes, well, I'm trying to land it 10 yards, take a hop, and roll right to the hole, and he made it. I mean, he did exactly what he said he was trying to do. You know, I thought he came off not as dorky or Summer's Eve-y as we thought.
I think I know why. Just look at the company he's around.
That's
you
a big,
got
that's
Tom
true.
Brady.
You couldn't be that guy.
You got Aaron Rodgers, both Super Bowl champs, MVPs. You got Phil, who's the most recent PGA champion. And then he's trying to get up to that goat level, you know. So he's like, I can't. I don't have a lot of room to talk.
He came out with the duct tape on the first tee. One, he said he put it over their mouth, but also because of Brady's pants ripping in the last one. That was pretty funny. Brady's pretty funny. Phil is obviously a master of trash talk. I mean, he just is.
See the next Faraday.
He's really good. I mean,
could he get his own show? You know what I mean?
It just depends on if guys would talk to him.
Or would he want to do it?
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't have to do anything.
He was funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, Barkley, right off the bat, I think they were still on the range. And they showed the video of Bryson boxing before he got on the helicopter.
Oh, right.
And he was like, I met that. That's a big dude. He's like, Koepka better watch it if you're trying to step up to that guy. He's pretty well put, you know, so the Koepka jokes were there too.
Yeah.
And then the golf course. I think that after all is said and done, the biggest winner, I mean, you think Montana, you don't really know anything about it other than it's just a huge state.
Yeah, big sky country.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and I think you end up, that might be the winner of the whole thing. Tourism in Montana.
Yeah.
Takes a huge leap.
Like I said, top of the show, because I got home first, turned it on. My wife walks in. She immediately says, where's that? So that's Montana. So that's where we need to go. Because we're going on vacation next week. So, man, that's where we need to go. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
It was great, though. It didn't take itself too serious. The
right.
The mixture of guys.
You know, and that's refreshing because for any novice golf fan, they think that golf is a serious sport. And it can be really intimidating if you don't go out a lot and you're afraid of what would be said if you golf with guys who golf a lot, et cetera, et cetera. But to see even the best of the best golfers and football guys just go out there, have fun, and say, like, it's just still a game and we're having fun and it's all for a good cause.
And I said it yesterday, and I truly believe part of the reason why it was that way is because we didn't have button-up Tiger there.
Nah.
I mean, he can needle you, but he's not as much fun as the rest of them.
Yeah.
So it was good to
get
him out there. That way those guys can kind of open up their personalities.
We need to continue this discussion of who else we want to see in the match.
Oh, absolutely. It's coming up tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.